So you're jumping from Facebook to Instagram DMs to LinkedIn to Meetup, just trying to find one investor who's actually building their investment portfolio.
Yep. And meanwhile, you're wasting your time networking with other investors who aren't aligned with your goals. Sound familiar?
Well, that's about to change. We have built Investor Plus, a one-stop platform for investors to make deeper connections and to build wealth.
This is not just about effective networking. We've built a clear success path to take you from where you are now to where you want to go. From mastering the market with our ebook, Market Master, to laying the foundation your business needs to grow with our on-demand course, Real Estate Fundamentals, you will gain the knowledge and the confidence to grow your portfolio.
Investor Plus launches January the 14th, and it will transform the way you connect with others. Start investing in yourself today. Click on the link below to join the waiting list. Have you ever wondered if there's a way to create additional income from either an investment property or a primary residence?
Well, Liz, I have good news for you. The answer is yes. In today's episode, we're talking to Pamela Bardi. She is a real estate developer, and we're going to break down ADUs. So for those of you that are looking to increase, to maximize and leverage your primary or current investment property, stay tuned. We're going to break down how you can utilize this new strategy to accomplish just that.
Welcome to the Investor Podcast. I'm Liz Faircloth.
And I am your co-host, Andressa Gadelli. So Pamela, we're going to break down ADUs. So for all the investors that are listening to us right now, they're like, oh my gosh, another strategy. Why should I think about it? Why should I invest my time learning about it? But most importantly, what problem are ADUs solving? So here we go. Let's kick off with that.
Absolutely. So when it comes to accessory dwelling units, I mean, this is another way to unlock wealth in your backyard, right? So this is something for investors to pay attention to as well as property owners, right? Because this kind of serves two purposes. As an investor, of course, you know, me coming from a developer standpoint and also from a humanitarian standpoint, there's two different ways that I look at it. As an investor, this enables you to add another unit onto your property, which equals more cash flow. Right? So you're adding more value to your property, it's appreciating more, and you're adding another stream of income, which is obviously for investment purposes, a huge opportunity. And then for homeowners, I mean, this is a way for people to age in place. So for example, a family could move into the main home and the older parents can move in the back. Extended family, you know, if you've got extended family that they just can't afford to like go out there and buy a house, you can actually build the accessory dwelling unit on your property, which is amazing. So for families, this is a game changer. I mean, the number one source of wealth in America is the primary residence that the family owns, right? So this is a game changer to be able to go in and help them really activate their biggest asset. So it's a twofold thing, you know, it's amazing for investors and then it's also amazing for families. So that's why ADUs are like the number one hot topic in real estate right now, because they're really starting to expand across the country and more people are starting to learn about them. And it's such a power tool, but if you don't know how to utilize it, you just won't know the value.
So let's talk about when did they begin? I want to go there first. And then what are you seeing in terms of the trend? Because then we can all then assess, okay, regulations and certain requirements and all those sort of things. But where did it begin and where are you seeing the trend in terms of a geography perspective?
It started all in California. I blame Cali for this madness. No, it's a good thing. It's a really, really amazing thing. So it all started in California because they were facing like the worst housing crisis in the country pretty much. I mean, their prices were astronomical. I mean, here in Boston, Massachusetts, we're equally as horrible right now with this current state, which is the reason why I think things are passing through the way that they are. But it really started, the revolution started in California, where they were allowing these accessory dwelling units. And that added thousands and thousands of new housing opportunities, which was really amazing. And so to the point that California has accessory dwelling units, there's kind of two classifications. There's attached and there's detached. Attached means in your basement or your attic. So one of the, like it's inside the actual primary home, and then detached units, which are like in your backyard, like a separate property, if you will. And the cool thing about that, I mean, in Cali, they've done it's now twofold in California. They have junior ADUs, junior accessory dwelling units, which is an attached unit. So it's inside your house. And then they also have a detached unit, which they consider like the accessory dwelling unit, like the master accessory dwelling unit, which is really crazy. So there's like, they allow two types on one property in California. And that's starting to happen. I mean, even in like Washington. And so this is what's happening on the West Coast. So this is where it all originated, because I've been watching this for the past like 3-4 years. And I'm like watching what California is doing, because I know that they always set the bar and then it expands across the country. And Massachusetts always, you know, follows California too. So I was kind of watching to see that. And now, you know, Massachusetts has implemented for all single family properties across the state, you can have an accessory dwelling unit as of right. No special zoning, no variance, no any of that. So something to pay attention to all across the country, but it's really starting to become really prominent. But it did originate in West Coast, in Cali.
I want to pick back on zoning and restrictions and inspectors, all of that good stuff, because me in construction, I know that, oh my gosh, I see the potential here. However, I need to go through zoning or having a variance. And that affects the timeline, my cash flow, and the overall numbers on a deal. So here's my thought process, and correct me if I am off here. With Airbnb, when it started, and still, right, still some resistance. To it. Anything that is new, there is a period of adaptation from a law perspective, from the community itself, from the neighbors itself. So if let's break that down from a law perspective on those states that are already allowing both the attached and detached, did the law caught up yet, or we're still having change happening and still like evolving or morphing? What are the challenges in that area?
So in California, for example, it's already law that you can do two types of ADUs. So they've already been like, so California has been like the trendsetter when it comes to ADUs. So they had ADUs first, and then they saw how well and how much housing they were creating. And then they added on the junior ADUs. So now you can do two ADUs per property, which is crazy. So this is already implemented into law, which is nuts. So they started off with one, and then they saw how well that did for tax purposes, for, you know, for families, for all of that. And then they added the junior piece to it too. So now you can have two. And the crazy thing about Cali, and this is where like investors are going to be like, you know, their ears are going to perk up, is they, in California, you can sell accessory dwelling units separate from the house.
It's a separate deed?
It's like a condo. Yeah.
Oh wow. But then let's say, Boston and our side here on the East Coast, are we catching up with the laws, or where do I have the green light and the red light depending on the state that I'm in?
So California definitely is a green light state for that right now, and also Washington State. So West Coast is a lot more far advanced than we are here on the East Coast. But on the East Coast, imagine, like, remember, they're emulating what's happening on the other side. So they're just now starting to get ingrained with allowing one ADU, and I'm sure that in the future they're going to start allowing two and so on. I mean, listen, we can build all we want, new construction, but there's only a finite amount of land. We have to work with what we've got. How do we maximize our property value of what we have existing? Right. So that's why zoning is getting more and more lenient, because they realize the red tape is what's causing the housing crisis. Right. Like, if we can't maximize what we've got, we can't just rely on new construction to come in, because between permitting and getting something built, like a big building, for example, that's at least 2 to 3, like by the time construction is over, like 3 to 4 years. That is so slow for what we need. Whereas like, if you have accessory dwelling units, it's an existing property that you can maximize, you know, whether it's your basement, your attic as an attached unit, or a detached unit, that, you know, a lot of those are getting done really quickly because they're not that big. Generally, the restriction is 900 square feet or less on accessory dwelling units. That's typical. That's the typical sizing of it.
And I want to get clear on that. 900 or less on the actual dwelling itself, correct?
So that's generally what they'll allow. What I've seen across all states, that's like the standard. But then there's some cities and towns that say 25% of what the house is. So if you've got a bigger house, it may be able to be a little bit bigger than that. So it depends on how they word it. But generally across the board, I'm seeing 900 square feet or less for the allowable square footage size for accessory dwelling units.
For the actual unit, is there a requirement for the land? Like, you have to have a minimum amount of land? Or if I could literally put a 900 square foot in my backyard, I'm good?
It depends on the city and the town. So that they, you know, because they may have like certain setback restrictions, like 20 feet on the back, 10 on the sides.
Yeah, you got to get those regulations and specifics, which leads me to my next question, right? You know, women listening to this are like, all right, I love it. I want to see where the trends are headed. And if the area that I'm either interested in investing in or I have investments in, where they're moving towards are the regulations there. So California, Massachusetts at the time of recording, and Washington State are the states that are kind of on board. Is there like a way to kind of stay on the trend of, okay, what states are implementing these kind of regulations and making that easier?
Just follow Pamela. That's it.
Let her do the work. Just follow you, of course.
All of you.
That's a good point.
Check on our show notes. Pamela, follow her.
Yeah, that's true.
That's what I'm doing. I don't want to let them. I'm like, Pamela, calling her like, Pamela, hey, funny. How about this? That's what I would do. Check on our show notes. You're going to have Pamela's handle there. And that's the easiest way. Next question.
Thank you.
No, just next kidding. Question.
Jeez. That's so funny. No, it's okay. You ladies are so magical. I adore you both so much. No, but seriously, I mean, like, it's really been, so it's been implemented in the building code. And so it's kind of across all states. Like ADUs are already in many of the code books across the country. People just don't know what they are. They're like, ADU. Okay. What's that? You know, so it's like, so it's starting to get put in the code, but people don't really know what it is. And so like, this is why I want to shed the light. I'm like, hey, learn how to unlock wealth in your backyard.
You guys gonna laugh. You know what I thought? But I can say that because I'm not from this country, so I can throw it out, whatever I think it is. So you know when you go like buy a shed, those little houses,
yeah,
and those like little
you put your
things?
Rakes
That's what
in-
I thought an ADU was.
Oh geez.
A tiny home.
Like a tiny thing. I was like, where you put your tools inside? Like, what are you talking about? For all of you that are listening to me right now and say, me too, I thought that too. Okay, let's hear from Pamela. Like, ADUs, what are, we know the attach and detach, but what exactly are we talking about?
Well, we're talking about a whole nother unit on your property. So meaning like a full
made
kitchen,
of what?
Bathroom. Like anything, like you can have steel frame, you can have stick frame, you can have whatever, like it could be, you know, in your basement or your attic, or it could be another detached unit. So just, it's like a mini house. So that's what you
could
think
be a container.
It could be anything that you want it to be, like, you know, as long as it's its own unit, it's separate. But typically, I mean, for 900 square feet, you're not getting any more than like two bedrooms in there, most likely. And so they're almost like a mini house, right? So it's great for like older parents or extended family or what guest house if you want. If you just want it as a guest house, people can utilize it for Airbnb if they're allowed to do that in their city and town. I mean, it's just like, it's like adding another house to your house. That's what I mean by like unlock wealth in your backyard. So they can be anything.
I was thinking, like, now I'm developing more of what you were saying at the beginning of our interview here, because that solves different problems for investors that can utilize their current portfolio to is max potential, but also a lot of homeowners that because of interest rate and demand, supply and demand, they cannot afford to sell the current house and go to another one, but they have a little one on the way, or they are cramped over there with their office or different things that they want to do, then they can expand that. Let me ask you a technical question, and I know that this might vary, right? By adding an ADU, how much does that affect the value of the property?
So we worked with the largest privately owned mortgage company in America to basically create the ADU programs to lay out, because I said, hey, like, you know, this is such a power tool for so many investors, homeowners, everybody. How, like, we now need that funding to make that happen. And so I said, what do those valuations really look like? You know what I mean? And the way that he explained it to me was like, well, Pam, you know, it adds square footage. The ADU adds square footage to your property. And it also, the cash flow derived from it makes it like a multifamily, right? So like you were considering like you can comp it as a multi now, and you can add that square footage into your property value. And so they've created like a 90% LTV kind of loan, and like it's amazing. And so it's revolutionary, honestly. But like, this is the way that appraisers will look at it, because now with ADUs, I don't know if you guys know, Fannie, Freddie, all the conventional lenders have have said that that any income derived from an accessory dwelling unit on a property can, like, the buyer can use that income to qualify just like you would a multifamily, which is a game changer.
Whoa.
So the opportunities for buyers coming into the market now you can qualify more. Like this is now putting things on the playing field of like multifamily investing, right? Because you're now turning your single into something that potentially is two units or more. Like if you're in a state that allows for an attached unit plus a detached, like what? Yeah, you have two units. Now you're really looking at a three unit, right? So imagine the value from a single family to a three or a two is a big, big, big deal, which is the reason why I'm like, guys, this is, you're literally unlocking wealth in your backyard. Like this is key, absolutely key. And the reasons why I love it so much. And it's so funny because it's like the government's been working on this stuff in the background, you know, Fannie and Freddie, and like putting in all these guidelines and then like, you know, all this loan programs coming through. And it's just so funny that like so many people just don't know. Like, it's like you literally have a wand in your backyard. You're like, and now I'm just like teaching you how to turn it on and activate.
So I'm thinking about the woman listening and they're potentially very sold on the idea, right? They're like, all right, I'm in. What is the like step-by-step? So how do you think about, how do you analyze an opportunity? You have a property or it's land or, you know, fill in the blank, but what are your like first, second, and third questions that you ask to assess, is this appropriate for an ADU? What is your process?
100%. So the first thing that we want to do is like, how's your town feeling about it? You know, so it's like you generally, you can look up whatever town, like, so we'll just use City of Boston, right? I'll type in City of Boston accessory dwelling unit requirements. It's not listed on their zoning ordinances or specified because in Massachusetts right now, everything's kind of in rework stage because everyone's adding in the new ADU law because it just passed like in July. So if that's not available online, then you call the building department and you say, hey, what are your guidelines? What are your requirements for an accessory dwelling unit? Can I do attached? Can I do detached? What's the size requirement? Like, how do I connect the utilities? Does it connect to the house? Does it have to have its own separate thing? Do I have to include parking? You know, basically like dimensional and logistical requirements that we want to figure out. And then if that's all a go, and they allow it, then we look at like a survey. So you want like a plot plan or a survey of your property to see, okay, where realistically can we squeeze something like this? If it's a detached or detached, then we would obviously like walk the existing, you know, the existing house to see, okay, where can we maximize this? And, you know, do we have to blow out any ceilings, walls, whatever, to create its own unit, or add in a new egress or whatever it may be. But if it's a detached unit, you know, you got to figure out setbacks. Is there parking requirements? You know, what are the utilities going to look like? Where's the foundation going to go? What are the requirements for that? And then from there, I mean, there's two ways that you could do it. You could either hire like, you know, a local contractor that can build it for you, like just like a house, or you can go modular, right? Which is like prefab construction, where it's just like, you can basically like order it, right? And it gets dropped on site. So there's different opportunities to kind of do both. So that's really the process. If you go modular, I love modular because it's like everything gets built and just dropped and it's easy. but like stick frame is cool too. You know, like, I mean, whichever way, like wherever you are most comfortable and that you feel like if you have a great relationship with a contractor, like have them build it. You know, it's just like that's the way that I would really go about it. But there are loans now that have come out, which is amazing. Just like there's a lot more access than there was even 6 months ago.
So I wanna dive deep on that a little bit. Just wanna clarify. So for an ADU, I don't need any type of a specialized contractor. It's basically building an extension of my house or building a mini house in my backyard. Just to 100%. Clarify, tell the ladies. All right, forget about the shed. Think about a mini house. All right,
forget about the shed.
With the financing piece, right? Because I'm imagining me calling my... He's not listening, so I can
be nice. Be nice, Andressa. Be nice. That's all I have to say.
I love you, Stuart. Love you. But man, if I call Stuart right now and I say this to him, because we have fun conversations throughout the years, right? The likelihood that Stu will know what I'm talking about is very unlikely. So in terms of availability of financing for this specifically type, are we still your experience with lenders, they're still building those products, how limited they are based on locations, or we're still morphing all of that right now?
So there's one leader in the industry, which is who I've worked with very closely, and they're the first ones to come out with these kinds of loans, which is amazing and awesome. So that is super exciting. And there's other lenders that are now catching up to that, but it's going to take them a while to get there. And so this one's, it's already available in all 50 states conventionally, which is amazing. 90% LTV, including the value of the ADU, which as built.
For all the people that are freaking out, don't worry about it. We're going to put the information on the show notes. Okay.
Yeah, I got you. Yep. and they're super knowledgeable and very interested in supporting our community too. So it was very, these folks are like way ahead of their time.
Way ahead. And yeah, it's super cool because it's like, if you have a product, but you don't have the financial access, like it just doesn't work. Right. So it's been so cool to see this all really come together. And just like how it's expanding and like the amount of people that it's going to help. I mean, I'm already seeing it with like ADU installs all across. It's like people, it's becoming a game changer for a lot of families, especially.
Absolutely. So I'm thinking about like, okay, I personally love construction, right? But I love Amazon more, meaning that I want to just buy it and get deliver in my house, right? So hopefully in the future, Amazon, we're going to be able to do that with ADUs. That'll be great. And I need to credit that idea if that happens.
There you go.
Just putting out there. But anyway, all right, I am that investor. They're like, listen, where can I go and get those ADUs or containers ready to go? Because if all it's good, I'd rather get this shipped to me and just plug it in, right? What do we have available right now on the market? Where do I buy?
Absolutely. So that's one of the reasons why I stepped in and really created my company Revolution, was because I saw, you know, in construction, I was like, man, if this guy doesn't show up, this other guy doesn't show up. And all of a sudden we're here for a year. And I really anticipated holding costs for like 9 months. And it's like, you know, as a GC on my projects, I was like, this is just, so I went the modular route because I'm like, how cool is it that you know something's being built offsite in a factory where it's all temperature controlled, there's no mold, you know, and it's being built from steel frames, so you know that thing is going nowhere. It literally weighs 20,000 pounds by the time it's done, minimally. That's just one container. So like, you know, for many different reasons, I kind of went the modular route for this exact reason, where it's like simplicity of construction, where it's like, you know, in 8 to 12 weeks, what's coming to you and it's getting dropped on site. You connect it within a few hours and you're done, you know? So like, it's a whole convenience factor because it's like what we're doing on site in construction. Like, this is why modular is now responsible for billions of dollars of projects coming up. There's buildings now that are being built that can be movable. In the commercial realms, there's a lot happening there with manufacturers. They're working on robotics in the industry. I mean, because one of the reasons why we have this housing crisis is honestly because of the construction costs on things, which then the delays there translate into holding costs that basically, and you look at it from a total perspective on a development project, you're like, oh my gosh, you know, any delays cause more holding costs. And then at the end of the day, who eats that burden? It's the end buyer. Right. Because, and that's why things are so expensive. Right. So the modular realm is really, really amazing. And there's a lot. I mean, there's a lot. I mean, there's my company, but there's also other incredible ADU builders right now. They're going modular or like, and dropping in backyards, or they're building the stick frame back there. They have, you know, crews that are specialized to do that. And because it's not that big of a square footage, they finish a lot faster. So there's a lot of amazing solutions that are coming up. But like, I encourage you, if you can go modular, if you want to go modular, that is 100% the way to go if you don't want headaches. Or you can have a contractor on site for many more months if you want to. But there's many solutions that are coming out right now. But modular, I would say, is like the easiest and safest bet because you know what's coming, where it's coming. And usually they handle the process the whole way through, which is amazing.
We definitely need to have another episode to break down modular from
head to toe. I was just going to say that. I am like that.
But yep. from those that are like, tell me exactly, like in a quick summary, what is build in the factory until like what point of the construction is built, and then what is built or finalized on site, if you can clarify that.
100%. So on site, what would need to happen is you would run your electrical, your water and sewer lines, or if it's a septic. So those, and then the foundation, that's pretty much it. In the factory, everything else is built. So windows, like the insulation, the steel frame. So everything at the factory, rough and final inspection happen at the factory. So we're licensed builders in all 50 states. So we have extensive reporting that goes into all of this. But yeah, we use spray foam and just, it's built just like a normal house on the inside, but it's steel on the outside frames. And basically when it gets delivered on site, the countertops are in, it's painted, the floors are in, like you literally just like with the crane, drop it on site, connect the utilities in there. And in a few hours, you can just basically move in.
So there's no local inspection that needs to happen after is in.
They probably just want to come and make sure everything's connected and working, the inspector. But other than that, no, because then when you get the report in hand to say, okay, rough and final, here's what it was at the factory. Everything's done. Here you go. Built specific to the code, etc. So it's pretty cool. That's why I love modular. It's so fun.
I think the big thing that I want women to hear right now is that it's a way to mitigate risk. And that's independent of the economy or independent of the, of anything going on, but it is a way to mitigate risk, meaning you're controlling your cost and you're controlling your timeline, which are two things that we all know can burn you in this business. So I just want to make a point there because I think that's a really great point and I wanted to connect the dots. Pamela, walk us through bringing it back to ADU. You've been selling us and I'm like looking out in my backyard right now. I'm like, can I get an ADU in my backyard?
I thought the same thing. You know what I thought?
What I'm talking about.
How the freaking crane. I'm like, do I need to take my gate out? I'm thinking about the crane.
You actually have plenty of room on Jessa. I have less room now that I put. Yeah, you totally
do. Liz, I'll tell you, do not need to research. You already just rebuilt your backyard right now.
I know.
It's beautiful.
I know. It's just sad. No, but anyway, I sit back there in my beautifully redone backyard and I look.
It's beautiful.
I'm like, maybe I could just take this. Put this away and
keep that all as right. Entertainment. Help
entertainment.
Me to figure
right.
It out. My backyard here, because I'm already thinking it's going to go through this gate. I'm thinking already.
So here's my question, though, and I think you the women listening and everything are probably in the same. You know, they're opportunists as well. But there's drawbacks and there's drawbacks to anything. And there's, and when you start implementing ADUs and I'm sure you had challenge or two that cost you some serious money or serious time. So walk us through not just your horror stories, but your learned lessons, especially as you got going in this particular strategy. So the woman listening can avoid that.
100%. I think the biggest thing, you know, like you said, the risk mitigation is huge and the cost is a huge element to this, which is amazing. Now, the thing is, it's real estate development. So at the end of the day, there's things on site that come up that you're like, why? Like you'll dig down and water will start flowing and you're like, oh, well, I can't put it here. We got to move it or we got to lift it. You know, so it's mostly site work that's been the biggest thing. Site work has been the big thing. Well, before that is always the zoning, right? And just like making sure, like getting the permitting down is probably the biggest factor. Financing used to be a really big hurdle, but now, thank God, that's all been settled. But permitting and zoning, I think, is the number one. And number two is the site work, right? Just the utilities. Because after that, everything's predictable. And like, especially on my end with the modular, like I know where it's going.
You're controlling
right
all
on
that.
Here. I can control that other piece, but that front half where it's out of my control when it comes to like permitting and zoning and then like just the actual site, because sometimes you'll get a survey and like, you know, it's just like different types of soil, different types of, and every city, every state has different regulations. In Boston, they want sinkage, monolithic, whatever slabs. And like, you know, and then there's other ones that are like, you could just put it on piers. It's all good. Or like if you run into ledge, for example, like you're not pouring foundation on ledge. So what are you going to do? Right. So just all these different things, you know, so that the site work is definitely one because you still have to deal with the building inspector on that, right? Because they have to come off and sign off and say, okay, foundation's good. And then you come in and you set it and do the thing. So yeah, those are kind of the two very, anything where you can't control is always going to be the problem, right?
But in learning that site work, has there been certain types of projects now that you'll look at and go, oh, that definitely has the potential for, you know, a bigger issue that, you know, you don't know water that's underneath land, right? Obviously. But are you able to look now or at least have that more of that knowledge? And is there anything like you could give us a secret of what land, maybe it looks a certain way, we just stay away from it?
Flat.
Well, you just want to make sure that you have different options, right? Like, I think it's the foundation piece, right? So it's like, and then like dealing with like wetlands and conservation, like it's really like, it's the red tape of it all is a really big element to this. But like, when it comes to the actual site work and construction, having a backup plan, all right, if this foundation doesn't work, you better make sure you talk to the inspector, because again, like inspectors run the show. Anyone who is an a-hole to building inspectors, like you guys are literally shooting yourselves in the foot, the face, all of it. Like, just be nice to them and just give them all the power and say, ma'am, sir, if I can't get the foundation that you traditionally want to look for, can I put this on piers, right? Still structurally sound and all of that. Like, just having backup plans in place so that if you get there, because all of a sudden, if you can't, you don't do what the building inspector does, and then you're like, oh, I had to put it on piers. You better make sure you cleared that with them. You know, so it's just like having that open lines of communication, I think, is a really big thing. That helps a lot through the red tape process. A lot of people want to like fight with the inspector saying, oh, he's not right. You know, that's not in the code. It's like, keep running against the wall.
Should run a course on that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Run a course on that. Listen, I am very straightforward with people, but my relationship with inspectors, goodness, they feel good. They feel really good after they talk to me. They feel really powerful, knowledgeable. That's how I want them to feel.
Yep.
Why? 100%. Right? Because we are all let's get it done versus getting into a debate of who knows more or what needs to be done. Listen, all of that costs me a lot of time. So if I need to eat frogs and really enroll, put my Liz hat on and be a queen of relationships and enroll them into what we're doing here, it's like we're in it together. How we can get this quicker, right? So ladies, please don't get into a debate. That's if you didn't hear anything that Pamela said, all the good stuff that she said throughout this podcast, get this part and you're gonna be very successful in life.
But in addition to that, when you don't know something, as you know, you're not an expert in ADUs, you're not an expert in the building code, don't come. Sometimes people are combative, or they are like, they hear one like no and they go away, versus like, help me understand how we can make this work.
Yeah. Say it again, Liz, because you taught me that. That's that gold sentence. What is it?
If you say, you know, pluck and flock into the building inspector and they say, no, 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 whatever you ask them or suggest to them, you want to then don't just walk away. And I think a lot of women do that, versus you want to stay there and say, help me understand how we could make something like this work in this community. What would it have to look like? Because I think that's then the conversation you need to have. So, because they might just say, well, it can't happen on that side of town because of X, Y, and Z, but it actually can happen here. But if you walk away, you don't get that second answer. And I think people give up way too soon. They just hear a no. They're just answering your question because they have other people to talk to. They have other things to do. They got to go to lunch at noon, right at noon, you know, whatever it is. So I just think that's important for everyone listening, is to help me understand what could we do here, and then listen, you know. So I just want to make sure I said that. Pamela, we love this. You are hired forever. You're going to be coming to both of our homes. Maybe my front yard. I'm like, maybe I could just do something in my front yard.
What the hell?
I know, it's a little intense.
We could do a treehouse.
Treehouse. There you go. I love it.
Treehouse ADU. Put it up in the.
That's serious. You need to come to both of our houses. But where can everyone listening learn more about you and follow you along your journey?
Absolutely. So I'm super fun on Instagram and LinkedIn and all that stuff. I'm a little bit more reserved on LinkedIn, Pamela Bardi. Instagram, I'm a little bit more unhinged. So whichever version of me you want to see, both sides.
I like that.
So there's kind of that. And then in terms of the ADUs, it's iwantanadu.com. That's like the easiest thing. There's like a bunch of FAQs on there because everyone has so many questions on so many things. And like, there's just so many resources on there that will help walk you through like basically everything we talked about today, like all the biggest questions that everyone's got and that kind of thing. So we kind of put that whole, there's a whole ebook that's on there too, that like just download it and it'll just tell you step by step what's up with everything.
I love that very much. And I still have questions here. And this is very exciting. I think this is, we're talking about the future, right? And all the development of it for me is extremely exciting. to see different opportunities. So thank you so much for spending your time here with us. And I can wait for you to continue this journey.
Thank you so much for having me. I adore you ladies so much. Thank you for the work that you're doing, the women that you're inspiring, and just to the moon we go.
Thank you. If you enjoyed this podcast and want to receive updates on our next interviews, go to our website, therealestateinvestor.com. There, you can subscribe to our show, become part of our investor community, and get updates on upcoming episodes.
If you like our show, please share with other women who would benefit. And don't forget to leave us a rating on iTunes. We'd really appreciate it. And as always, we encourage you to take one action as a result of today's show and put it into motion so you can live both a financially free and balanced life. Thanks for spending time with us.
Ciao.